Hey friends, it's Ian from TV's The Recovering Gleek, Ugly Podcast. When Lena and I first decided to make this podcast, we quickly realized we had literally zero idea of how to make that happen. Thankfully, a friend of ours recommended the podcasting platform Anchor. Anchor is free. It has all of the tools you need to record and edit your podcast from your phone or computer. You can even add songs from Spotify into it. And the absolute most amazing thing about Anchor is that they will distribute your podcast for you. So anywhere that you listen to Recovering Gleek, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever weird third-party app you're using, it is there because Anchor put it there. And the icing on the cake is that you can make money from your podcast through Anchor with no minimum listenership. All you have to do is record an ad, which is why I am recording an ad right now, because I want money very badly. It is everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
What should we talk about for our cold open today?
Should we talk about the weather?
Yes. Okay.
Frankly, the weather has been madness.
Yeah. This is not boring small talk. Let's talk about the weather. This is the apocalypse is happening in southern Utah right now.
I love the rain. I've talked about this like at length to many people as well as the people on this podcast. Today was every moment of my life with this rain is like, I'm stuck between a rock and an equally hard rock of hating this rain because it's absolutely the apocalypse and it's like a big, you know, symptom of global warming and just wanting to dance in it all day, you know. Today I was making lunch and then I saw this huge crack of lightning and it was like, I swear, like two Mississippis away. And it was so loud. It was during your show. You probably heard it.
That's probably the one that cut our power off.
Yeah. It was frankly so scary. I watched it happen.
Yeah. I was in the middle of a performance of Ragtime during this storm. You could just hear the thunder the whole time. But our power did go out. But thankfully, we have a huge generator. So how we noticed the power going out instead of all of the lights turning off was that the generator immediately kicked in and all of the lights turned on.
Mm-hmm. The emergency lights almost.
So halfway through a song, all of the backstage lights and all of the audience lights just turned on. And then the stage manager had to like turn them all back off while the song was still going on. Very exciting.
What song was it? Like who was?
Thankfully, it was a livelier number. It was Getting Ready Rag.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it wasn't like some like early dramatic in the show moment.
Yeah,
it's pretty early. Also, the project, because we do the backdrop is a projection screen and we have projections, which usually I think projections don't look great in theater. I don't know what they did. They look incredible.
I've got to agree with you.
They all look like backdrops. Like they look like they're painted on. It's crazy.
They're beautiful.
But the projector kept cutting out because of the storm. So there was a moment where it was like a projection of New York City. And then all of a sudden it went black and an error message popped up. Like on
no way.
Wow. But shout out to our technicians. They got under control. Technicians were running backstage with towels trying because like water... We were just like scared of like water leaking in and like damaging stuff. So absolutely. They were like covering stuff with towels and it all worked out. And what a time to do Ragtime in a storm.
Seriously.
There's also a line in that show where Mother comes in and she's like, "You missed the storm. It was exhilarating."
And everyone's like,
they're like, "We get it. We're in that storm right now."
I love that.
Well, Recovering Gleek brought to you by rain.
Brought to you by rain, for sure.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Do you want to talk about Glee now?
Never.
Me neither.
Let's hit it. Let's talk about Pot of Gold.
Shall we?
We shall. Oh, wait, but first, before we talk about Pot of Gold, let's introduce ourselves.
Oh, I think they're fine. I'm just kidding.
Okay, you have to guess what our names are.
Yeah.
They're not what you think.
If this is the first episode you're listening to, Pot of Gold, Season 3, pretty random of you, but welcome. Guess what our names are.
If this is the first episode you're listening to, Pot of Gold, Season 3, I would love for you to email us with a written explanation of why this is the episode you chose.
Because pretty random.
Having just watched Pot of Gold... I can't imagine the person that this would be their go-to choice.
Literally.
Bizarre.
I know. Well, spoiler alert to how we both feel about this episode. Ian and I both have appointments tonight at 8, and it's currently 6 o'clock. 6:15 to be exact. Ian and I was having technical difficulties trying to get my microphone set up, and so we were just like kind of on a time crunch, and I was like, you guys, don't even worry. And I told Ian not to spoil the ending, but I don't have much to say about this freaking episode.
I watched this episode twice, and I'm like, did I even watch an episode?
Oh my gosh. I try really hard not to like be on my phone. I try and be really present while I'm watching the episode to like catch like little things that I wouldn't ordinarily catch. I like could not bring myself to give my like the episode my full attention.
It will get into it.
Yeah.
But my apologies to Damian McGinty. They really did you dirty.
I know, they did him dirty.
What an absolutely forgettable entry episode.
I know. And it's so sad too.
Well,
do you want to hear some glacks about...
My name is Ian. We never introduced ourselves.
I thought we weren't gonna.
Oh, just kidding, everyone. I don't have a name. Anonymous co-host. Would you like to take us away with our glacks?
Hell yes, anonymous co-host.
You got it.
Oh yeah, it's time for the glacks.
So let's talk about Pot of Gold. Give me some. I'll give you some glacks. So Pot of Gold is the fourth episode of Glee's third season and the 48th episode overall, premiered on November 1st, 2011. So this episode, can you guess who it was written by?
Woof. Is it Brad?
Mm-mm.
It's one of the three, though?
Nope.
Oh, well then no, I can't. It's this Michael
brings
Hitchcock.
Me into my first... No.
Okay.
This brings me into my first glact. This is the first episode to not be written by a Glee co-creator. Instead, it's written by co-executive producer Allison Adler. Oh. Some cool things that Allison Adler has done. She works on a lot of Ryan Murphy stuff. She was a co-producer of The New Normal. But she is a co-developer and writer on Supergirl.
Oh.
Further.
That's the Glee cinematic universe.
Literally, that's what I'm saying. Isn't that interesting? So Allison Adler also goes by Allie Adler. So let's talk about the songs in this episode. We have Bein' Green, originally by Kermit the Frog, performed by Rory Flanagan. And then we have, Bein' Green obviously is very famous for being on The Muppets. Jim Henson, who was the original Kermit, is very famous for singing this song originally. Then we have Last Friday Night by Katy Perry, performed by Blaine and the New Directions. Anyone who had a computer in 2011, maybe not you, knew, I don't know, you probably knew, that Darren Criss was in this music video.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, and then...
Along with Hanson.
Hanson?
Hanson is in this music video.
Really?
Yeah. And with Rebecca Black, but that's not as shocking as Hanson.
I mean, a bunch
Hanson.
Of people. Also, like Kenny G, the saxophone player.
Yeah.
I love that music video.
It's very good.
I actually watched it fairly recently.
I did as well.
Oh my gosh.
Like within the last like 6 months, probably.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Which is pretty random. But Darren Criss and Kevin McHale are both in this music video. So it is a big... ploy to get people to listen to the song because the music video is absolutely iconic, and Darren Criss, and you know, he's got to sing it, and it's got to be one of those, you know, Darren Criss has got to have a solo in this episode because for fun, you know, we got to remind ourselves what Glee Club is about.
I have thoughts about this number that we will get to.
Not wait to hear about it. And then we have Waiting for a Girl Like You, originally by Foreigner. It's the near unplugged version, just in case you wanted to know, performed by Puck. And then we have Candyman, originally by Christina Aguilera, performed by the Treble Tones. This is the very first Treble Tones number we ever get. This is also Sugar Mata's first time like singing on a released song.
I was going to say, that is Vanessa Lenji singing then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So dumb because she sounds great.
I know. And that's the thing. Is Vanessa Lungi is frankly, a beautiful actress. I love her. Mm-hmm. Like everything I've ever seen her in, I'm like, this is everything to me. I think she's great. The costumes and the choreography is all inspired by the original Candyman music video. Did you ever see that?
I have, yes, yes, yes.
Oh, man. I used to watch that all the time as a child.
Which was in turn inspired by Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy by the Andrews Sisters.
Oh, hell yes.
So, full circle. Mm-hmm.
And then we have Take Care of Yourself by, Teddy Thompson, performed by Damian McGinty. Obviously, this is Damian McGinty / Roy Flanagan's first episode. He won the Glee Project, so he gets to be on the show now. Here he is, and this is the episode that they chose to introduce our boy, Damian McGinty. Absolutely killing it.
Proud of you, Damian.
Seriously. I really don't have a lot of glacks for you. I've given already most of them away. So let me look at my notes again.
There's a big glack that I will say if you don't have it.
Okay. What?
Damian McGinty, pre-Glee Project.
Oh, yeah. Celtic Thunder.
Heck yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. He was in an Irish boy band. Mm-hmm. I mean, boy band, more like a man band, because they were all like
man band
adult men, and then Damian McGinty was like 13. but...
I don't know anything about Celtic Thunder.
Fun fact about Celtic Thunder.
I'm ready.
They came to Arizona in like 2009, 2010, before he was on Glee.
Yeah.
And my mom thought it was river dancing.
No.
So she bought us all tickets, was like very excited to see river dancing. And then they started singing and she was like, wait, what is this? And so I have seen Damian McGinty.
No way! In concert. That is so cool. How was it?
It was good. My family was very disillusioned the whole time because we have been very hyped up about watching river dancing.
Yeah.
And we're very disappointed by essentially seeing the Irish Backstreet Boys.
Yeah.
And the biggest memory I have of that concert is Damian McGinty singing Puppy Love. And there's a moment where he's like, someone tell them, please. And on each tell them, he would jump cross, jump separate with his legs and then like spin around.
Dun, 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 like that?
Yeah.
That's
and
so
it was
funny.
Just the sound of like every teen girl in the audience screaming and my mother sitting next to me being like, I can't believe this is not river dancing.
Oh, my lands. Someone get Damian McGinty on this podcast right now. I need to tell him that story. That is so funny.
Celtic Thunder.
Wow, Celtic Thunder.
That's why you do research when you buy tickets, everyone.
Yeah.
You don't just hear a name and make an assumption about what it is.
I guess that feels randomly pointed.
Oh, right. It feels like maybe a little prejudice.
I think so. It's like just says Celtic, so you assume it's river dancing. Come on, Eileen. That is so funny. Oh, tell me about this river dance. Do you guys like river dancing? I know that like there are members of your family who hold their Irishness with pride.
Yes. My mom like was a dancer, mm-hmm. like did ballet her entire time growing up. And so dance has always been something that she's like really passionate about and really loves. Mm-hmm. And so she always loved to just see different types of dance and to like go to different dance concerts. And then yes, also my family is like barely Irish, but we love to pretend that we're super Irish.
Absolutely.
We get it from my grandpa. And so the opportunity to see like Irish dance, my mom was like, we're there. We're so in it. Alas, it's not what we thought it was.
Dang. Well, heck, hopefully someday you guys can see some river dancing.
I know, right?
I can't wait to tell Damian McGinty this little fun fact. Hear me out. Glee Wiki is dry this week, unlike our weather. So that's the end of my glacts.
Well, also, this episode's pretty dry, so I don't blame...
It is. And I feel blame Glee Wiki so bad too much. Because it's the first time that we have a new writer... Which is such an exciting thing, but it's also like...
That's what's so weird about this show, getting new writers, is that the reason they started getting new writers is because they weren't getting great reviews. And like, to my understanding, it was that like Ryan Murphy was really starting to branch out with all these different projects that he was very excited about. And so Glee was no longer their focus. And so Glee was starting to like get really shaky. So they bring on all these new writers to help stabilize it, and yet I feel like all it does is make all of the problems worse.
Yeah.
That, like, once the new writers come in, I think this episode is the beginning of Glee fully going off the rails.
Yeah, absolutely.
We have like the Quinn framing Shelby for Satanism plot in this episode. What on earth?
My lands.
We have the Shelby Puck plot start in this episode.
My lands.
Like,
yeah.
It truly, they got these new writers. This is the first one that the trio has not been in charge of writing. And it is like the inciting incident of Glee becoming absolutely the most bonkers version of itself yes. that it can possibly be.
I mean, even this episode, it is framed around, you know, a freaking... Do you want to give us our recap?
No.
Okay.
Anonymous recap.
Anonymous co-host? Anonymous. Would you like to give us our anonymous recap?
Fine. Here we go. Here's what you missed on Glee. Rory Flanagan, an Irish exchange student, is living with Brittany, who thinks he's a leprechaun. After Mercedes joins Shelby's Glee Club, Santana decides to follow suit and convinces Brittany to join her by using it as her leprechaun wish. Will convinces Bert to run against Sue for Congress. Finn befriends Rory and convinces him to join the New Directions. Quinn tries to frame Shelby for child endangerment. Puck stops by Shelby's apartment to get rid of Quinn's planted evidence and ends up connecting with Shelby, and they kiss. That's what you missed on Glee!
All right. First of all, before we get into any of this, if you met a leprechaun, what would you ask him for? Or them for?
Nothing, because I've seen Darby O'Gill and the Little People. Leprechaun wishes always come back to bite you in the butt.
They do?
Yeah. The strings are attached. It always ends up badly, and you always wish you hadn't met the leprechaun. And then a banshee comes and it tries to take your daughter away.
Oh, sorry for asking.
Have you seen Dario Gil and the Little People?
Hell no. I don't even know what the words you are saying are.
It's a Disney movie from like the 60s about a man in Ireland who meets a leprechaun. And because my family loves to pretend that we are way more Irish than we are, my mother would watch it every year growing up. And then, of course, forced us to watch it. I mean, forced is the wrong word because we were very into it.
Yeah.
Allowed us to watch it every year on
at a movie night Saint with Patrick's her children.
Day. And St. Patrick's Day 2020, yes. Yeah. St. Patrick's Day 2020, I had just barely lost a job to a pandemic. Very fun. I was in a touring production of a show, and the tour had just gotten shut down. Literally the day of St. Patrick's Day is the day we got the news that we were no longer touring. So it was like a very weird day for all of us. And I was like, hey guys, I know we're all in a weird place, but does anyone want to watch this movie called Darby O'Gill the Little People? I made the cast the day we had all just been fired watch that movie, and it is weird.
You are such a cool person.
It's on Disney Plus, everyone.
Did they enjoy it?
No.
Oh no.
They were all like, this is, what on earth is this movie? And I was like, isn't it great? Something cool about it, though, is because it was filmed in the 60s, you know, they didn't have like CGI or anything. So all the leprechauns are practical effects, and it's all just camera tricks.
Oh, cool.
So every time that a human and a leprechaun are interacting, the actor playing the leprechaun is like 50 feet behind them, and they're just pretending to look at each other, and they have them like posed exactly that on camera it looks like they're standing next to each
other. That's cool.
It is very cool.
That's interesting.
Disney Plus, everyone check it out.
Oh, it's on Disney Plus? I was just going to ask.
Yeah, it's on Disney Plus.
Maybe I'll check it out by myself. Just watch that movie in the middle of the night by myself.
Honestly, it's scary.
Really?
The Banshee does come, and she is frightening.
I do love a scary movie. nothing gets me like, oh, nice. Nothing like helps me wind down quite like a scary movie, so maybe I'll watch that.
Great. Great. It's also, hear me out, I love it. It's pretty boring.
Oh, shoot. So
that'll put you to sleep.
Well, it is a movie from
nice.
The 60s. Our attention spans are different now.
Yeah. Anonymous co-host, what would you wish for from a leprechaun?
Thank you for asking. I'm just kidding. what would I wish for? I think I would wish for... I know exactly what I'd wish for.
What?
I lost my AirPods the other day. Which
again?
I know.
I hate to say that.
I swear to freaking Christ, I am cursed.
You like literally lost them for a week, just told me you found them a few days ago, and now they're gone again.
Well, the thing is, I lost one AirPod a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So I purchased a new AirPod, like a replacement AirPod. No. And then my next door neighbor sends me a text and is like, hey, I found your AirPod. I put it on your kitchen table. So now I have like two left AirPods. The one that was lost, it totally doesn't work anymore. It was like found in the grass, and it's monsoon season, so yeah. Definitely doesn't work anymore. But then we threw a party this last weekend, and I have not seen my AirPods since.
Oh no.
I'm a little nervous that, you know, 200 people came in and out of my apartment. I'm nervous someone snatched them. So if I'm at a leprechaun, I'd be like, can you help me find my AirPods? I am cursed. I also, a couple years ago, ran over an AirPod with my car. Mm-hmm. It was actually a friend of the podcast, Kennedy Jones's car. I'm cursed.
That's why I just get these cheapo,
I know,
string earphones because I lose them too much.
I know, but I just love the convenience of having like Bluetooth headphones.
Well, my Bluetooth headphones are massive. I just have like fat ones that are impossible to lose.
Sure.
And then if I'm going to do like a little earbud thing, it's always going to be on a string.
Yeah, but one of my favorite parts of the day is getting ready for my show and getting into costume while listening to music.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I can like put things over my head. Yes. I can like, you know, get into wig prep, like all listening to music. And I can't really do that with like wired headphones or big headphones.
That is true.
It's a level of convenience I've come to rely upon. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm at a leprechaun, I'd ask him, where did my AirPods go?
Rory, come on.
Rory.
AirPods.
Damon McGinty. You've been to Arizona once.
You have, and you have met me.
You have an eyewitness here.
I was there, Damien. I remember. Okay. How do you want to talk about this? I have... There's the Quinn, which is all the Puck Quinn and Shelby stuff.
The Quinn.
There's the Shoe Vester, which is like the Bert.
Yeah.
Sue, Will. And then everything else. Oh, there's the Rory stuff.
Yes, the Pot of Gold.
And then there's all the Trouble Tone stuff, which is like the Santana deciding if she wants to leave, and then like Finn getting upset about it. And yeah. What do you want to talk about first?
Gosh. My next leprechaun wish is that you decide.
Okay, let's talk about Rory Flanagan.
Okay.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Here's my problem with the Glee project. There is an exception to this rule. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, I'm like, wow, these writers could not be bothered to actually fit these actors into this show. It is always like, I don't know. First of all, just everything that Damon McGinty does in this episode is like, did you know he's Irish? Which, like, it is interesting that Damon McGinty's Irish, and so I think it is a good idea to have him be like an Irish exchange student.
Yeah, that's good and that's smart.
But all he does in this episode is be Irish, and I mean, spoiler alert, I guess, but I haven't seen this season in a long time. But if I'm not mistaken, this is kind of the only episode where he ever has a plot. The rest of the show, he's just in the background and says a few lines.
Yeah.
Like, I truly think the winners of the Glee project got so screwed over.
I agree.
Because the writers essentially were like, you get to be extras on Glee.
It definitely is filmed. Oh, did I tell you who this episode is
directed by?
It's Adam Shankman.
Okay.
Of such fame as Soviet Union Dance and also Hairspray.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this episode is really filmed like Damon McGinty is a contest winner. And that's what it is. And it's like, it's almost like, you know, you watch High School Musical 2 and you know that you voted for Miley Cyrus to be in, you know, the last like dance they have. And then they have like the cameo with her that they linger on her for just too long. Mm-hmm. That's how this whole episode feels.
Yes.
Like, it feels like, hey, see you guys? Like, you're kind of in on this. Mm-hmm. Damian won that thing, you know?
Yeah. And it's so weird because Lindsay Pierce, who did not win, was integrated so well.
I didn't feel like that at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they completely drop her character. Mm-hmm. They like come up with a character who makes so much sense for the world and has so much plot potential
and
then completely drop her.
So much plot potential. Mm-hmm. Like, think about who Kurt and Rachel are
Yeah.
right now. I think like Lindsay Pierce was an integral part in the plot of getting them here, you know?
And then freaking Damien McGinty wins first place and they cannot be bothered to find a way to make him make sense in the plot of this show.
Yeah.
Ugh. That, like, oh my gosh. This whole episode just feels like a very special guest star episode where you're, like, watching TV and they're like, and tonight's episode of this sitcom, and it stars this famous person you know, and exactly. It's, like, the most forced plot. And they're like, my car broke down outside, so I'm knocking on your door for some reason, and I'm going to be here for the next 30 minutes.
Totally.
Because, like, truly, everything that Rory does in this episode doesn't really have a lasting effect. Like, he does the leprechaun wishes, which kind of gets Brittany to join Trouble Tones, but they easily could have had her join a different way.
Yes. I wouldn't even say that Rory is the reason. I'd say it's Santana.
Yes, exactly. And then at the end, he joins the New Directions because they're down in numbers, which you would think was like, oh, okay, so he's going to be like an integral part of the club moving forward. Spoiler alert, no, he's not. He's just going to sit in the back and wear green.
Yeah.
Hey, hey, oh yeah.
But also kind of dressed like Elvis.
Yeah.
What's up?
Is it a big green Elvish vibe coming from him?
Elvish.
Elvish.
I liked the way you said it. No, for real. And I feel so bad about it because I think that Damien McGinty is very talented. And I wonder what the numbers are of like people who are watching Glee who also watch the Glee project. I mean, look at this room. The room is 50-50. I've seen the Glee Project. You haven't.
Yes.
So I wonder, I don't know.
I wonder what the numbers are of people who are watching Glee and people who went to a Celtic Thunder concert thinking it was Riverdance.
Well, it's 50-50 in this room.
It's 50-50 in this room. So I think it's probably 50-50 with the viewers. Who knows what it's like in
other rooms?
I think this room is a very good sample size for any statistic.
Name a statistic right now.
I wonder what the numbers are for people who are watching Glee and went to a Christmas party on Saturday.
That's 100%.
I think everyone who's watching Glee attended a Christmas party last Saturday.
So let us know.
Let us know how your Christmas parties were last weekend.
But if, but yeah, let us know. Christmas in July. I think a lot of people celebrate that, frankly. I wonder what the statistic is for people who host a Glee podcast but also lost their AirPods at their Christmas party.
It has to at least be 50-50.
Exactly. Based on this room. That's how it is in this
room. Yes, I would say so.
Right.
I wonder what the statistics are for people who are watching Glee and who are anonymous and don't have names.
Mm-hmm.
Because based on this room.
It's 100%.
I wonder what the statistics are for people who are watching Glee and are actively doing everything they can to avoid talking about the episode Pot of Gold.
Okay. Listen, there are shining moments in this episode.
There are, but they are few and far between.
They are. And like, I don't want to spoil them because sadly, they are not in the Damien McGinty plot.
No.
No.
His plot is very forgettable. Let's rip this Band-Aid off. Okay. It's not easy being green. What are your thoughts?
Whoa. Oh my God. Frankly, love this song. Damien McGinty sounds great. And I'm not going to lie to you. It is preposterous to me.
Yes!
And also the laziest thing they ever could have done. Yes! They were just like, they typed into Spotify green and it was like, oh, the Kermit song. Oh. Put it in. Makes no sense. And it's also, it's not funny. If it was funny, I would like it, but it's like a very earnest rendition of the Kermit the Frog song. And it is so freaking random.
He is
wild.
100% dead
serious
singing a song from Sesame Street. Just like with all of his heart and emotion. It is bonkers.
Yeah.
What's even more bonkers is that this is not the only cover of a Muppet song on Glee.
I know. I hate this show. I really do.
Oh my God.
I really don't like it anymore.
And that's the thing. Like you said, this actually could have been very funny.
I think it could have been funny.
But it is so earnest.
Yeah.
And truly, I guess it's because he's trying to convince Brittany he's a leprechaun. He truly only ever wears green.
I think that's just this episode because he's wearing red at the end of the episode.
Yes.
So I don't know that that continues.
I don't think it does. No, I don't think it does.
But whoa. It is wild. Mm-hmm. I really don't like it.
Also, I mean, I didn't grow up in the Midwest. If there was an Irish foreign exchange student in my school,
okay,
they would be a hot commodity.
Okay. Did you have foreign exchange students at your school?
Yes, we had a French girl at our school, and it was like everyone was tripping over themselves
literally
to be friends
oh
with
my
her.
Gosh, yeah, same. I had a girl like from Sweden who went to our school for like a whole year, and everyone was like, I need to be this bitch's friend. Mm-hmm. And like all the boys were like begging to take her to prom, you know?
I understand that like being a new student is legitimately terrifying because like you don't know anyone and that's so hard. And maybe this is just where I grew up, but in my experience, every single time we had a new student, it was like people lost their minds.
Oh, yeah.
Like they were
so
a celebrity.
Exciting. Yeah.
Everyone, it was like a competition of like who can get them in their friend group.
Yes, absolutely.
But TV would lead me to believe that new students are exclusively bullied and it's always awful.
And woof. It in the writing with the bullying of Rory is so annoying. Like it is like stupid and like lazy. There are like someone yells "Go back to Mexico" at him.
Hear me out.
I did not like that.
I did. I thought it was funny.
I don't think that's fun. I think it's lazy.
Okay, I get that. I get that.
I think it's like, oh, just these like, you know, like weird Midwestern kids don't know
yeah,
just yelling like offensive things at people, like let's throw that in there. I thought it was lazy.
I thought that was funny. I also do love,
well, I wonder what the statistics are of anonymous co-hosts who like lazy writing versus who don't like lazy writing.
Whoa, that was a heavily biased way of phrasing that question. I also like when the hockey player has him up against a locker and says, "Say you two is overrated."
That part was funny. That part was really funny. I really liked it. And I liked that Damon McGinty wouldn't do it. That part was funny. But even still, so random. No, mm-hmm. And especially Damon McGinty is very tall, very handsome.
Is he tall?
I bet he's like over 6 feet.
He's just always next to Corey Monteith, so he just, like, looks short to me.
But also, I wonder how tall he is. Should I guess?
Yes.
Okay, so I know that Corey Monteith is, like, 6'3".
Mm-hmm.
I think he is either 6 foot or 5'11", or 6'1".
He's 6 foot even. You're right.
Yes! That is my superpower, I
Let
told
me
you.
Say weho.
Weho. Boom, boom, boom.
Everybody say weho. Okay. Truly, I have so little to say about the Rory plot.
It makes me sad. Let's talk about Rory and Brittany.
Okay.
You know, another plot of Brittany, you know, essentially being taken advantage of. It makes me a little sad.
Mm-hmm.
I do love that Brittany, like, believes in magic. Santana has a lovely line about her that's like, you know, that beautiful place where she lives, she, you know, needs some grounding sometime. I don't know how she says it, but I thought that was like a sweet way to talk about Brittany. Even still, this show does this. I don't know. It makes me mad. I have like complicated feelings about that.
Yeah. Rory like lying to Brittany so he can sleep with her.
Oh my God. And he's referring to her pot of gold.
Yeah.
And that's, oh my God. The name of this episode is referring to Brittany's whatever.
Which like, what are the statistics of people in the world who refer to their vaginas as their pot of gold?
Well, if you look at this room, it's zero.
It's 50-50.
Man, I don't even know.
That's skeevy and weird.
Super skeevy. And it's like, you know, I don't know. I just don't like it. I really don't.
Then on top of that, because that's like the very obvious one, is the fact that we're like, oh, cute, the new kid in school, and he's trying to coerce a girl into having sex with him by lying to her. I'm rooting for him. Mm-hmm. But then on top of that, Santana also fully is manipulating Brittany, because she knows that Brittany thinks that Rory's a leprechaun, mm-hmm. and Santana knows that Rory isn't a leprechaun, and instead of talking to Brittany about it, she's like, cool, so I'm going to use this belief of hers to force her to do something I want her to do exactly. that she doesn't want to do.
Exactly.
Oh, man, come on.
I know. I'm over it. Brittany is a character that's very special to me. I really don't like that shit at all. And especially with Santana. Rory, who the fuck is he? I don't even know.
Yeah.
But, like, Santana, mm-hmm. someone who genuinely loves and cares about her, like, doing this to her, I'm over it. And I think it's cheap and, like, you know, that's not how partners treat each other. I don't like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, Finn does something. Finn in this episode, we'll get to it.
Yeah.
Woof. But he is really, like, he does something awful to Brittany where he, like, straight up just tells her to stop being an idiot.
Yeah.
And it is a thing where, like, Finn is correct and it's like, hey, Rory's not a leprechaun. Like,
yeah.
But he is, like, so tactless about it.
Yeah.
And he's so awful to Brittany. But that is very much framed as, like, whoa, Finn messed up. That was too far. Mm-hmm. Brittany stands up to him. Later in the episode, Finn goes up to Brittany. He apologizes for it. And, like, it is very obvious in the show that, like, that was a jacked up thing he did. Santana straight up manipulating Brittany and using her beliefs to get her to do what she wants is never once touched on as, like, maybe this is not an okay thing that's happening.
And it's happened before. You know, mm-hmm. we have the same thing with Artie, like, last season.
Yeah.
When Artie, like, I think he calls her an idiot. And then, like, Brittany runs away crying. But all of that is because, like, those people were trying to, very tactlessly, point out to Brittany that she was being taken advantage of
yes.
by Santana.
Yeah.
And by Rory in this situation as well.
Yeah, and it's always like, we always are supposed to continue to root for Santana, who is the one doing the manipulating.
Exactly.
And the people who are trying to point out to Brittany that she's being manipulated are villainized.
Yes, exactly.
And they do go about it in the wrong
exactly.
way.
Exactly.
But, like, they do have her best interests at heart
I know,
these moments.
Exactly.
Do you want to talk about Take Care of Yourself, his final song?
I mean, I guess. This was another moment in the show. God bless him. Damon McGinty, heart you. Can't wait to have you on the show. Just kidding. I'm not promising anyone here that Damon McGinty is going to be on this show. The answer is he's probably never going to be on this show. I could not hold my attention towards the end of this episode. I couldn't tell you what happened in that bit.
My big takeaway from this song is a Puck and Shelby moment that we will talk about in that plot.
I did see that.
All I will say is he sounds very lovely on this song.
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful. He's a great performer.
And Finn opens this number with the absolute wildest, most out of left field analogy he could have come up with. So Santana, Brittany, and Mercedes just quit the Glee Club, mm-hmm. and everyone's mourning a loss of three members. And then Finn just goes, what happens when the Pope dies? You get a new Pope. What?
What?
How did he equate that with the Pope dying?
Yeah, literally. But, like, also, which one is the Pope? All of them?
Mercedes.
Yes, exactly.
The Mercedes is
Mercedes
the Pope.
Is
the
Pope. No, totally,
direction.
Absolutely. But who was he referring to? But even still, like, I agree.
Like what? I would love to see the paperwork on what that thought process was. Very weird.
No, I feel like that is someone who doesn't write for Glee, writing for Glee, and is like, oh, Finn
yeah.
always does those pep talks that are like kind of weird. He always gives like funny analogies.
No,
so
that's
give him one. You
that's
know?
Super. That is, you're so right. That is super. Someone who is not Ian Brennan trying to be Ian Brennan.
Because Finn says shit like that all the time.
Yeah, and Ian Brennan's brain works where he just like finds the most bizarre connections, mm-hmm. but they always make sense in a weird way.
Yeah.
And that one felt like someone who was desperate of like, what's like a wild thing we could say right here that would make
like,
the audience
well, what
be like,
what?
Dies?
Who said heaven, I hope? Is Kurt. That Kurt? I did
yeah.
like that.
No, that is funny.
Yeah. Heaven, I hope.
That, hey, hear me out.
What?
Damon McGinty, I really loved your rendition of Puppy Love in
yeah.
the concert I went to. I hate to break it to you. That's all I have to say about you in this episode.
I agree.
Okay. Bye, Rory.
Bye, Rory.
Right. drink how many times, take a shot every time we mention Rory in a future episode of this podcast, you probably will be very sober.
Aww, TV McGinty, no. What do you want to talk about next? Should we talk about the treble tones? Should we talk about Bert running for office and Sue and Will
Either the treble tones or the Quinn and Puck stuff should be last, because those are the two things that, like...
that you want to talk about.
Yeah, so which one of those would you rather say for the end?
I'd rather talk about... we should... I was just going to say we should end on the Shelby stuff, but... God,
I think we should end on treble tones.
I agree, I know.
Because the treble tones, I have like positive stuff to say.
Yeah.
The Shelby stuff, I have negative stuff to say.
Absolutely.
We could get Shoevester out of the way, or we could do Shelby now, then Shoevester, then treble tones.
Let's talk about Shoevester now.
Okay, I truly think I could do this in a minute and a half.
I know. Well, do you want me to time you?
Okay, start the clock right now.
Ready? Go.
Will says to Figgins, when Figgins cancels West Side Story, he says, "I thought you were a friend of the arts." Why? This whole show has been Will and Figgins butting heads because Figgins is constantly trying to defund the arts at this school.
Oh my God. Very dumb.
Will asks Bert to run for Congress. Bert goes on the news and he does his little, that's how Bert sees it. Will is wearing glasses on top of his head. Why is he doing that? Since when does he wear glasses? He's an idiot. The one spot of this plot line that I thought was very funny is when they're at Breadsticks and Sue goes up to the Hummel Hudsons and she says to them that cheering is a better use of school funds than flying the Glee Club to New York without a set list, only to lose with a song they made up the night before.
I did love that.
And that's what you missed on Glee. Seriously. What was my time?
It's been less than a minute. It's been like 40 seconds. No. I don't remember. Here are my thoughts about it. Bert is the sh**. I would absolutely vote for him to be my congressman.
Mm-hmm.
And I did like the rock and equally hard rock.
Yes. That's a good line.
That's about it, though. Yeah.
The Sue line, while it did make me laugh, is an annoying thing that Glee does, where they're like, see, we recognize our flaws. And it's like, that's fine.
Yeah,
can you stop having those same flaws then?
Exactly. And we talk about that all the time. Yeah. Like half of this show is making fun of itself, but it is like, it's supposed to be like, see, we're on your side. But it's actually like, no, this is what's keeping your show from being good.
Yeah. And it's not camp enough, because like being self-referential and making fun of yourself can work if it's camp.
Yeah.
But Glee takes itself too seriously to ever be full camp.
Exactly.
And so then those flaws that you would excuse if it was super campy, you're like, well, but you are expecting us to take, like, New York is expecting us to take Nationals incredibly seriously.
Exactly.
And now they're like, oh, haha, remember how we didn't have a set list? And you're like, yeah, but in the episode that was treated very dramatically, yes. And now we're joking about it.
Yeah, the stakes were so high.
Yeah.
Yeah, redonkulous. I don't know.
Bye, Shoevester.
Let's talk about...
Shelby Corcoran. All right.
Long story short, you guys. I hate this show. Like, genuinely, it really bothers me. Skank Quinn forever, but this is so annoying.
Every aspect of this plot line is character assassination.
Oh, absolutely.
And like, hear me out. Shelby was already a bad character.
Yes.
But this is just really pushing her straight off a cliff. Mm-hmm. Quinn is straight up framing someone for baby sacrifice.
Yeah.
And what also, has happened
bitch,
there?
You bought that on your credit card. Like, come on. Like, oh, this is so easily traceable to you, bitch. Like...
Puck calls Shelby the most tappable teacher at McKinley, and she blushes.
I don't know what show I'm even watching anymore. And this isn't the first time we've had Puck, be with older women. That's happened before, and we've talked about that, how that bothers us, and how, you know, that's, especially before. We know that now... Puck is 18, but like, you know, but like, he's been doing this since season one. That's statutory rape. Not gonna, no ifs, ands, or buts about that. I fucking hate this. It is so, and frankly, the way that the kiss is framed is like so romantic. And I'm like, this is not a good thing. And like, what a, like, Shelby Corcoran has been a teacher for a long time.
Let's map this out.
Yes.
Shelby Corcoran kisses a boy who, A, is a student at the high school that she is a teacher at. B, is the father of a child she adopted. Mm-hmm. C, is the ex-boyfriend of her biological daughter.
Oh my God!
What?
Shelby Corcoran
on earth
is Satan spawn.
She is the worst.
This woman belongs in jail.
She has so many lines in this episode where she's talking to Puck and, you know, they're having a heart to heart and she's falling in love with him, of course.
Of course.
And she's saying, she's like, oh, it's just being a mom. It's everything I've wanted. But, you know, like, it's really hard because just like there's so much mess and there's so much stickiness and she cries all the time. And I'm like, oh, so now you don't want to be best mom because she's too much of a baby. Mm-hmm. But then
she's a literal child.
But then you didn't want to be Rachel's mom because Rachel wasn't a baby.
Yeah.
That she went to Rachel and she was like, well, you're fully grown and I want like the mess and I want the stickiness. And now she's like, but I love Beth, but like there's so much mess. There's so much stickiness.
Seriously. This woman is the devil, honestly. And the way that she talks to Puck is frankly disgusting in so many ways, especially when she's like, I'm just all alone. I can't do it by myself. And then she like has the audacity to be like, Puck, why do you keep showing up at my house? You know? And it's like, no, you're fully grooming this child.
She keeps letting, and not even letting him in, because last episode when he showed up, she invited him in immediately.
Yeah.
No.
No. And it is such a terrible, 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 beyond terrible idea to let the biological parents of your adopted child who are underaged and like Quinn's going through her own shit right now. She's like dating an adult. She's like doing her own thing, like babysit their kid. Like, if she was if she had an ounce of empathy, she would realize that in a second. That, like, Quinn is not in the space right now to, like, be cool with that. And also, where is Quinn's mom, you know?
Quinn's mom, hear me out, not a good parent.
Absolutely.
Obviously, her dad was way worse.
Yes.
But, man, where is her mom?
Where is her mom?
Oh, my gosh.
I know. It is... Oh my God. Like, so disturbing, this whole plot.
Going back to I Am Unicorn, when we were talking about how I like really hate season 3 Quinn arc, and I was like, actually rewatching it, I don't actually have any issues with Skank Quinn, but I was like, there's some other stuff that we'll get to later.
Yes.
This is the other stuff.
It's this, yeah.
It is the way, like, what happened to this character? The way that she is, like, planting hot sauce in Shelby's cabinet, like, framing her for all of this stuff to get Beth back. It is just, like, they don't know what to do with her. They are trying absolutely anything to just, like, have a Quinn plot because they can't be bothered to have any sort of consistency with this character.
Yeah.
This is full Joker Quinn to me. Skank Quinn is not Joker Quinn.
No.
Joker Quinn is putting a book called How to Send Your Baby Back to Russia in Shelby's bookcase.
Yes. The part that makes me the saddest isn't even that part, because it's like, at least it's something, you know.
Mm-hmm. As opposed to last season where like, what was she doing?
Bitch had nothing. But the part that makes me sad is... Everyone in this season kind of right now, everyone's arc is kind of like, what's going to happen next for me? That's really normal for like people ending high school to like be nervous about the future. that is not a normal, but like, especially Quinn feeling like she has nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's also a normal feeling, but I just know it's coming from writers who feel that way about her, that they have nothing for her, mm-hmm. and that she has nothing, and that this character is worth nothing, and she like doesn't know if she wants to go to school or not. You know what I mean? Like, it is just painful, you know?
Yeah. Well, and also, like you said, like, at least Quinn is like having a plot.
Yeah, exactly.
But it is so framed, all of these episodes, it has been so framed that Quinn is like becoming a villain. Which, hear me out, she is becoming the Joker, but it is very much like a cry for help deal.
Yes.
Where it's like she's been through all these things and she's a child and she doesn't know how to deal with it. And besides Rachel talking to her under the bleachers in the first episode of the season, no one ever really tries to help Quinn.
Exactly.
It is, she's always demonized. When she goes into Mr. Shu's office, he yells at her. He tells her that she's a train wreck. He tells her that she needs to take responsibility for herself. This whole episode, Puck is just like, which, hear me out, like, she is in the wrong with what she's doing with Quinn, with Beth, and like trying to plant all this stuff, but Puck is all like demonizing her and how awful she is, and it's very much framed in a way that we are supposed to get on Puck's side. No one ever takes a moment to be like, wow, Quinn's really spiraling. Let's see if we can get her some help.
Exactly.
Like, let's take a moment to see, like, what's going on. Let's maybe bring an adult into the situation. Let's talk to her mom mm-hmm. and see if we can help her. Like, it is all written in a way that is like, Quinn is so awful and she has gone up the deep end and it's her own fault that she went off the deep end.
Absolutely.
And like, she's a mess because of her own choices.
Yeah. And then poor Shelby's just taking the brunt of it.
Yeah.
You know?
And then poor Angel Shelby, Rachel's angel mom, mm-hmm. is just being so victimized. All she wants to do is raise Rachel 2.0 and kiss one of her students, and she can't do it in peace.
What the heck?
Come on.
You know what Shelby does do right?
What?
The trouble tones.
The trouble tones.
The trouble muffin tones.
Coming in trying their best to save this episode from ruin.
Oh, my lands. They all need to go to the chiropractor now from carrying this episode on their backs.
Their backs are mangled. I literally, Candyman, my first note is, this number is single-handedly trying to save this episode because it is truly one of the few bright spots.
I agree. It is lovely. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all my girls doing mm-hmm. the most. Mm-hmm. And also, it's what a great number to like showcase these three beautiful performers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on. It's amazing.
It's fantastic.
And it's such a good idea. Like, to like introduce what the trouble tones are.
Yeah.
Who are those three other women?
Seriously, where did they find them?
We'll never know. Why weren't they in the Glee Club before? Who cares? Really? My gosh. Yeah.
I will say, an extremely sexualized song to have
thinking that
three children sing. Doesn't surprise me, considering the person who chose it for them was Shelby Corcoran.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, she was like, panties drop, making my cherry pop, real big, this is probably okay.
Yeah.
Anyways, Puck, you want a Mac later?
Puck, you want a Mac later? And I noticed that, like, even last Friday night, and, like, I was thinking, I was like, am I being kind of like, you know, like the Parents Association watching this television show. But even still, it was like, then had a menage a trois. And like, I feel like, no, that's not even true. I was going to be like, in season one, they weren't doing this, but they sang the thong song. What am I talking about?
Yeah.
But they were very explicitly sexual in this episode.
It feels different to me because season one was so, like, the vibe was so different.
Yeah.
Like, they did Push It, which is, like, one of the most sexual things that has ever been done on the show.
Yeah.
But the whole number is framed, like, I cannot believe this is happening.
Yeah.
Like, it is so self-aware and, like, isn't this absolutely bonkers? Like, every time that the kids, at least in the first half of season one, every time they do something that is overly sexualized, the show is very aware of it and, like, lampshades the fact mm-hmm. that it's doing that. Whereas this, like Candyman and Last Friday Night just are like, isn't this fun and cool? Buy this song on iTunes.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
But they're and all that's like what it is. 16, 17.
Yeah. Absolutely. Ugh, this show is so weird.
This show should have never gotten popular. I truly think that if Glee if Glee was like successful enough to get renewed, you know, to keep being on TV, but was never a phenomenon, I think the show we would have gotten would have been a far better show than what it was.
Ugh, sad. I mean, we didn't talk about Last Friday Night a lot. Do you have thoughts about it?
Yes.
Okay.
I have so many thoughts about this.
Okay, tell me.
I loathe this number.
Okay.
It truly was torturous for me to watch. I will preface this by saying this is not like an issue I have with this song. I actually like this song.
Mm-hmm.
I think Darren Criss is a talented performer.
Yes.
This number makes me cringe because it is the most forced, hey, buy this song on iTunes performance possible.
Absolutely.
Why is Blaine singing this song? It makes no sense. It does not further the plot. He's just like, hey, I know we're all sad, so I picked a song to cheer us up. Last Friday Night.
And also,
like
to remind us what Glee Club is for.
I'm like, how do you know? You've been in this club for 2 days.
Exactly. Blaine, you just got here.
For real. It is so Darren Criss getting an unnecessary solo because everyone loves Darren Criss.
Yes, absolutely. I have never agreed as much as I have agreed with this one.
And especially this song, because we were in high school in 2011. Mm-hmm. This song was everywhere. It is such a cash grab. Yeah, such a cash grab to be like, this is such a huge song. And the thing that puts this over the edge, I hate Rachel Berry in this number.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. I have been pretty vocal about the fact that, like, Rachel is awful and she does awful things, but I usually am okay with it because I'm like, dang, it makes for some good TV. But the thing is, I like Rachel doing awful things with consequences when the show is aware that they're awful. And like last episode, we talked about it at length. Rachel was like at her worst.
Mm-hmm.
She like stabbed Kurt in the back, ran for president against him, and then refused to give it up. She was so awful to Mercedes. And then she like got the role in Maria, like no consequences, got everything she wanted, absolutely no consequences. And then this episode, instead of there being any fallout from her like being so awful to everyone last episode, besides like one thing that Kurt says to her, she's up there on Last Friday Night being so cutesy with everyone, having all these moments of like fun and connection with people. She like slaps Blaine's butt at one point.
Yeah.
It is nails on a chalkboard to me. I hate it.
Absolutely.
I am like, I am in the minority group who actually likes when Rachel is awful, but you need to acknowledge that she's being awful and the characters need to be annoyed by it.
Exactly.
If this number was like people refusing to be around Rachel because she has gotten so awful, I'd like it so much more. But it's
and that would even be funny and like a way to keep this number in and
But it's like the two things that annoy me about the show is Blaine getting undeserved screen time, and this whole number is undeserved screen time, and Rachel suffering no consequences for her awful actions, and this number is Rachel being cutesy and having fun, even though she spent last episode terrorizing everyone.
Absolutely.
I hate it.
And even, like, before the number starts, she's like, I was thinking about changing my name to Maria. You can't cancel my musical. If any of my peers ever spoke to me that way, I would absolutely tie their shoelaces together. Like, you know, like there's no way I would sing this number with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I absolutely agree about the Blaine stuff. Blaine doesn't have a lick of a plot in this episode.
Mm-mm.
And even Rachel, who gets, you know, solos for no reason, usually has a reason, actually.
Yeah.
You know, it's never just like, let's just have Rachel sing right here. And this was so like, meh, we need something to go here. Let's put in a song that we know that people will download it on iTunes, you know?
Ugh.
Also, Artie doesn't even have a solo in this. No. He was in the music video too.
Come on.
Come on.
Well, TGIF, I also wrote in my notes, because I was watching this yesterday, which was Sunday, the day after the Christmas party on Saturday. And I was like, wow, this is appropriate.
You do love to party. You got crazy.
I did get crazy.
Yeah.
I woke up. I was like, oh, gosh, think we kissed, but I forgot.
You're like, is this a hickey or a bruise?
Is this a hickey or a bruise? Never mind.
Anything else to add about your party? I lost my fucking AirPods.
No, I could cut that out.
What were you going to say?
Yeah, I was just going to talk about just like truly 1,000 people in one apartment. It was 1,000,000 degrees.
It was terrible.
everyone was vaccinated, and it's all people who see each other at work all the time.
Yeah.
We're always around each other. But man, I went to that party and I was like, wow, I am truly the only sober person here. It's 1,000 degrees in this house right now. Mm-hmm. I cannot move an inch without bumping into someone.
I know. Wow. That was hard.
And then at ragtime today, like at work, I just had so many interactions with people.
No.
Because I truly don't care is a thing.
Yeah.
But I had so many interactions with people who talked to me when they were like very sloppy drunk.
Yeah.
And then I would walk by them and be like, hey. And then they'd be like, oh, hi. And then like really quickly look away. Well,
listen, yesterday, I saw you yesterday, the day after the party. I was like, okay, I'm going to text Ian and ask if he wants to go to this movie together. It's okay if he says no and never wants to see me again.
That's the thing. It's like, truly, I think everyone else is so much more embarrassed than I. Like, I don't know why people are embarrassed, because people are like what people did was they were like very touchy with me, but never like inappropriately touchy, but just like pet my arm and stuff. And we're just like very affectionate. We're just like, hey, I just want to tell you, I love you so much. I think you're amazing. And I'm like, hear me out. If you getting drunk means that you say very nice things to me, then feel free to be drunk around me more. It was a nice ego boost for me. But like so many people are like, I humiliated myself in front of you the other night.
Listen, I tried my best to ignore your ass all night long.
Well, friend of the podcast, anonymous, I won't say his name. We kept having conversations, and then halfway through the conversation, he'd go, are you disappointed in me? And I'd be like, no, I truly do not care. And then he'd be like, okay, good. And then he'd keep talking. And he'd be like, are you disappointed in me? And I was like, no, I don't care. That's the hard thing about being the sober person at a party.
Yeah.
Is everyone it's gets a lot so of self-conscious. Yeah. And they all assume that like you're judging them. And it's like, no, I truly am not drinking just because I don't want to be drunk. Like,
yeah.
Feel free to do what you want to do.
I am never going to drink alcohol ever again. I feel very much how they did in Blame It on the Alcohol, where it's like, I'm never doing this again.
We watched Black Widow last night, and there was a scene where Florence Pugh pulled out a thing of vodka, and Lena went, oh, I can't even look at it.
That's true. Oh, I hate it. I hate drinking.
Yeah, I was watching TGIF and I was like, dang, this feels like every conversation I've had in the last 24 hours. Just people being like what even happened last night? Oh, man, I think I did this thing. I can't believe that happened.
I know. I just ran into a friend and I was like, didn't you do this at the party? And they were like, I did. And I was like, oh, no.
And I was like, I stood in the corner and ate chips. That's what I did at that party.
It was, I mean, I'm not a partier. I definitely don't love, I feel very, I keep having moments. I don't know how interesting this is to listen to, but maybe it is. I keep having moments where I remember the things that I did at the party and I just like, ugh, I just have to like shiver because it's just, ugh, I can't believe myself.
That's why I don't drink.
Seriously, I wouldn't recommend.
Well, back to the trouble.
I mean, the trouble. Are we talking about the trouble tones?
Yeah.
Well,
just like that. Essentially, yeah. Anything in the episode that we haven't touched on yet.
Ooh, what haven't we touched on? Oh, you know, okay. So, some shining moments in this episode for me.
Yes, yes, yes.
Are the Santana speeches are very good in this episode. Like when Santana is like intimidating Damian McGinty, and she's talking about how she's seen the movie Leprechaun and it learned her something. So funny. Really funny. I was like, this is very good. Mm-hmm. And then there's this, my other favorite moment. And maybe I should save this for my best part because it easily is my best part of the episode. And I'm not going to share it yet then.
Stay tuned, everyone. Real nail biter. Things that irritate me in this episode. On the other end of the spectrum, William Schuster.
Well, classic.
Mercedes has left the Glee Club, and they're treating it as if...
Will could not care less.
Well, also, everyone is like, what are we going to do? Mercedes is gone. And they're like, how are we going to win sectionals? Mercedes is gone. And I'm like you won every other competition because Will never gave her a solo.
Exactly.
I'm like, it is really sad that Mercedes is gone, but honestly, it's not going to make much of a difference because she was never given her due in this
exactly.
club. And then... Santana talks to him after TGIF, where Santana's like, oh, so it's just going to be the Blaine and Rachel show. And I was like, yeah, it is, because Ryan Murphy is in charge of this television program.
Exactly.
But she goes up to Will once again, just like Mercedes last episode, says very valid things where she is like, oh, are we not worried about showcasing any other voices? And he's like, well, you had a solo at sectionals last year. And it's like, Rachel had a solo at regionals and nationals last year, and sectionals and regionals the year before.
Exactly.
And Will, once again, has someone just like clear as day tell him, hey, I don't feel seen in this club.
Yes.
I don't feel appreciated. I don't feel like my voice is heard. And his response is, they need an attitude adjustment.
Uh-huh.
Like, that is what the third time that has happened this season. And every single time he's like, man, something about these kids this year.
Yeah.
They need attitude adjustments.
What's their deal? I know.
He's the worst.
It's really frustrating. And like, even like the salt in the wound truly is him telling the club to get over it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like... These kids are very upset that they've lost a member, and a member that they respect and love.
And, like,
you know,
they're close friends.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know what? Will, for someone who preaches that, like, they're a family so much, is sure a mega asshole to these kids after Mercedes has left. And it's his, like, ego. It's all his ego and him being like, well, she didn't want to be in the club, so screw her.
Seriously, he, like, can never acknowledge that he might have messed up. He always has to make it the other person's fault.
Exactly. And I mean, I don't remember how this all gets resolved, but frankly, if it isn't Will apologizing,
if it isn't Will being taken to court,
literally, and Mercedes getting financial fucking compensation, I don't want it. I'm turning off my Netflix. I am canceling my Netflix subscription.
He also makes a promise, which is everyone in this group's dreams are going to come true this year.
Oh my God.
An absolutely bonkers, very ambitious promise to make, and one that was completely unprompted. No one was like, hey, Will, what are we going to do about this? He truly just promised them the biggest thing he could have for no reason whatsoever. Just setting them up to be let down again.
Your dreams are going
to
come true this year, I promise. Like, what the fuck? I've had professors like that who say just boldface, like promises for stupid shit. And I'm like, you have no power over my dreams.
Seriously. Like, okay, are you going to help me find $100,000 tomorrow? Great, Will.
Also, he wrote magic is back or whatever on the whiteboard.
After Mercedes left.
Bitch, I hate him. But it's about like the ads, right?
Oh yeah.
But also, like, why'd you write on the whiteboard like that? You weirdo.
But also, is that because like the magic is West Side Story and like West Side Story is back?
Yeah, I think.
Or is it he's like, you guys, I was walking through school earlier.
I saw a leprechaun.
I saw a leprechaun.
Magic is back.
all of your dreams are going to come true this year.
I'm
going
to
kidnap that leprechaun.
We're going to harness his power for the Glee Club.
What we don't know is there's an underlying plot where Will is just having the exact mirror image of the Britney
plot.
That's
why we never hear from Rory again and he's so quiet, because his power is literally being sucked away from him by one Will Schuster.
Because he's trying to fly under the radar because Will's just being like, hey, leprechaun, here's my next wish. And he's like, Mr. Schuster, please, I am just a student at this school.
He's like, I'm just a boy.
And he's like, you can't fool me, idiot. Here's what I want. I want Emma to shut up and put out already.
Oh, let's have a conversation about consent, Schuster. My God. I hate him.
All right. We're really winding down on this episode.
Well, let me count how many notes I took. 14 notes. Usually I take like 100. Sour Patch Kids are just gummy bears who turn to drugs.
True. Also,
this is Ian from the future. Pretend I say Finn right here.
Will confronting Brittany in the hallway, and he says, is it true? And she says, no, of course not. And he says, you're not leaving the New Directions? And she goes, oh, I thought you were talking about the Selena Gomez pregnancy rumors.
That was funny. I did like that. I liked when the Hummel Hudsons were at dinner. Mm-hmm. And they turned to Kurt and Finn. And they're like, Kurt's going to be in college and you're going to technically be an adult too. It's so funny.
So.
Oh, you know what made me sad?
What?
When poor Sugar Mata, when the girls come in and fully just like piss all over that choir room, mm-hmm. and they're like, this is our space now. And she's like, I just wanted to be a part of a winning team for once. I feel so sad.
Yes. Also, what were those rehearsals before Mercedes Santana Brittany showed up? Was it truly just Sugar finding puns with her own name?
Sugar, Sugar.
And Shelby just standing at the piano?
I think so.
Because that's what was happening.
And I think Mercedes had been in the club for the last couple of days,
because
she was walking around with like sheet music earlier in the episode.
Well, and she also the Asian F ends with her joining the club.
Yes, so she's been in the club for a minute. Yeah. So it's probably like maybe they did like four good together.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Also, Santana calls Sugar Richie bitch.
Richie bitch. That was funny.
That's it for me.
I know. We've been talking for an hour, and most of it was about our party this weekend.
Most of it was about the statistics of Glee Watchers based on our sample size in this room.
Oh my gosh, what do you think, you guys.
The statistics are on the number of Glee listeners, Glee Watchers who love the episode Pot of Gold.
Ooh, I'm nervous. I was nervous after I watched the episode. I was like, shit, if this is like someone's favorite episode and I'm about to like not even try on it, but like just like have not much to say about it, I'll feel sad. I wonder what the IMDb score is on this episode. Okay, it's higher than I anticipated it being.
What is it?
7.8? Which like in compared to even like season two is not very... not very good. Let me look at... Oh, Asian F had 8.3. I Am Unicorn had 7.9. Pearl Piano Project was 7.8. Interesting.
That's weird. I'm going to look at the critical reception section on the Wikipedia article. It says it got mixed reviews. The Houston Chronicle called it a disaster.
Love calling things a disaster. I should call more things that. Right? What a good adjective.
Rolling Stone said it was stale and unfunny. IGN thought it was good.
Okay.
AV Club said it tried a lot of things and produced too many duds. I would agree with that. Mm-hmm. AOL TV was pleasantly surprised and said it was better than the majority of the episodes from the second season. What second season were they watching?
Literally.
They were like, but the only episodes I could catch were Night of Neglect.
Yeah. I skipped Blame It on the Alcohol, so I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Prom Queen, I never saw it. Well, Well, hell, I really don't have much to say about the episode, so I don't think we should keep kids longer than we need to keep them.
Pot of gold, baby. Shelby Corcoran has finally reached Shelby Prime, her true supervillain status.
Truth. And listen, should Beth be taken away from her?
Probably. But not for baby sacrifice.
Yeah, and like a hot sauce bottle labeled Beth's.
For the fact that she is just going to emotionally manipulate that girl and absolutely screw her up.
Shelby Corcoran is a spawn of Satan. I said what I said.
Yeah.
But she can produce a good choir number. Are you ready to talk about our best parts and worst parts?
Let's do it. My gosh.
My gosh. Doom, doom, doom. Best part, worst part.
Boom.
Okay, Ian, tell me your best part of the episode.
Best part, best song, Candyman. Yeah. I mean, come on. Are you blind? Best part, woof. I feel like it probably is better than we're making it sound.
I'm nervous that people are going to be like, what's happening?
The last three episodes, because I've talked a lot of smack on season three. In the last three episodes, I've been like, oh, I'm having a pretty good time. Maybe season three is better than I remember. And then Pot of Gold came around and I was like, oh, this is what I remember.
The hard part about this episode, though, is like there are some like really terrible moments, but it's mostly just kind of boring.
Yeah. It's mostly just.
Yeah.
Damien McGinty guest stars on this episode.
I know.
Of Glee.
And it does a disservice to him.
Yes.
You know. I think, I don't know.
Best part is that, hear me out, the troubled tones exist now.
Yeah.
Santana and Brittany finally left the New Directions, thank goodness. We're about to get some very good, specifically Santana and Mercedes content. Mm-hmm. Hooray for the troubled tones. Mm-hmm. What's your best part?
My best song. There is no other option on here than Candyman.
Of course.
It has to be. It has to be. As much as I do love the lazy choreography of the Glee kids pretending to just like make up a grapevine on the spot, I do love that. I cannot pick Last Friday Night. I have two favorite parts of the episode. One is when Brittany and Santana hold hands under the napkin. Mm-hmm. I really like that scene. It's very special. Mm-hmm. And when they're trying to figure out if they're on a date or not, that part is special. But!
Is this the one that you referenced?
This is the favorite.
Drum roll, everyone.
When Rachel Berry walks into the choir room from hanging up the posters for her campaign. Kurt goes, did you airbrush out your jowls? And then she just snaps back, no!
That's the best part. The fact that she can't come up with a comeback. Just goes, no. And that's the thing.
It's so funny. It's so funny.
That's when I love Rachel.
Exactly.
Is when Rachel is like, she's just a loser.
And
the fact that like Kurt insults her and she literally cannot come up with a comeback and just confesses to the fact that she has jowls. Like, that's hilarious. And I love that girl. The girl who slaps Blaine's butt during Last Friday Night, hate her. Get her off the show. Let Rachel Berry be a loser.
He like covers the side of his mouth. Look, he yells at her. He's like, did you hear a brush out your jowls?
No.
So funny. Anyway, that was my favorite part of the episode. Seriously. It didn't even warrant like a moment in the episode though, because it's so small.
Yeah.
So stupid. I hate this show. Anyway, Ian, what was your worst part?
Ugh. The Damien McGinty guest spot that didn't go anywhere.
Ah,
sorry,
God,
Damien.
Yeah.
But I had something else that I thought of. Oh, wait. Scratch that.
Yeah.
Shelby kisses Puck.
I was glad you didn't say it because I was going to say it, but also I'm glad you said it.
Also, waiting for a girl like you and Shelby's like making eyes at him the whole time. I hated that so much.
By the way, check out our guest spot on Gleek of the Week, the podcast, because
we talk about
I've been
that
waiting
song.
For a girl like you. We talk about it, but hear me out. Much like this episode, Pod of Gold, we don't have freaking much to say about it.
But speak of Pod of Gold, on our episode of Gleek of the Week,
yes!
We do talk about the other Muppets number on Glee. And when we say Muppets number, we don't mean a number that has Muppets in it. We mean a number where they are singing a song that was written by the Muppets.
I hate this show. Go check that out, y'all.
Week of the week.
We did not talk about I'm Not Gonna Teach Your Boyfriend How to Dance With You. But sadly. We do talk sadly. About Waiting for a Girl Like You.
I forgot that we talked about that. Wow. I fully blocked it from my mind.
I know.
Because I hate this number so much.
It's stupid.
What's your worst part?
Jeez, well, you said it. The Puck and Shelby of it all is not only like so fucked up, but like the way that they're like, maybe like it's like Shelby is like actually has feelings for this high schooler.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, I want to light this whole show, this whole television show on fire. Like, yeah. Metaphorically, like, what the hell?
And the way that, like, Shelby is always framed as, like, we're supposed to kind of be on her side about
yes.
things.
Oh, my gosh. And with the Quinn stuff, it's like, oh, no, Shelby is a good person.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be wanting this to happen.
It's like Quinn is trying to ruin this wonderful woman's life right now.
Yeah. Ugh. That's my worst part. Do you have right. an assignment of the week for me?
If you were a leprechaun, what would you sing?
I'd sing, Lena, I hope you find your AirPods. Here is some magic for you. Dun, dun, dun. They couldn't have had him sing a U2 song. I would have bought that more than the freaking, like, being green. What? That is silly goose. Come on, or a cranberry song. There's so many, like,
can
amazing Irish artists.
He's getting pushed around and he's like, in your head.
I would have liked that better.
Head.
Frankly, I would have liked that better.
Zombie. That song rocks.
I love cranberries.
Cranberries are the best.
Seriously.
What if they had him sing Danny Boy?
What's that song?
Do you know? Okay. Maybe Danny Boy is just a thing in my family.
Well, I don't know what Danny Boy
because
is.
Because once again, we like to pretend we're more Irish
okay.
than we are. It is literally, I know it because my siblings used to sing it to me all the time. But they would change it to Oh Tiny Boy because it was back when, you know, I was actually tiny.
Uh-huh.
No, they would sing Oh Scrawny Boy.
Oh,
because
no.
As a kid, I truly was like skin and bones. I was so thin. Danny Boy is like an Irish song from like the early 1900s. And it's Oh Danny Boy, the pipes are calling from glen to glen. And over something, something. It's actually like a very beautiful song. I just love the concept of these writers being like, I don't know, he's Irish.
Yeah.
He sings Danny Boy while he's getting bullied around the school.
I would have liked it better than the Kermit the Frog song, frankly. Makes no sense.
It's just not easy being green, man.
It's really not. Well, heck, you guys, do you have thoughts about Pot of Gold?
If you like this episode, that's okay.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. Please. Oh my gosh. We're going to get into this actually a lot.
Mm-hmm.
A lot.
Especially in these next few seasons.
Yes, absolutely. And there are going to be times that we like episodes that you guys don't like and vice versa. And please let us know. I really want to hear like what you liked about this episode, like what you found interesting, what you didn't like about the episode. I definitely want to hear that, and I hope we don't like bully you out of listening.
Or like make you like ashamed that you enjoyed
an
episode.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. I would never make anyone feel bad for like having fun consuming something like
Glee. Hear me out. I consistently still talk about how I like Rachel Berry, and
yeah.
It is getting into very treacherous waters with that.
I bully you about that all the time.
So you're allowed to like Rory Flanagan. Don't worry about
yes.
it.
Yes. And not that we don't like Rory Flanagan. We just think that this show
did him
dirty. And he deserves better. But that being said, you can send us a voicemail to anchor.fm/recoveringgleek, or you can send us an email to recoveringgleek@gmail.com.
Follow our social medias.
Social media.
We have a TikTok and we have an Instagram. And they are @recoveringgleek_podcast. We also have a Twitter and it is @recoveringgleek. There's also a fan-run subreddit.
Yes.
r/recoveringgleek.
Post your memes there.
You can also leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. That would be lovely. It'd help more people listen to our podcast. You can also, if you're feeling it, donate to our podcast. anchor.fm/recoveringgleek. Click the support button. We would absolutely love it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Stay green, everyone.
Seriously.
And hear me out.
Hear you.
Don't try and coerce yourself into someone else's pot of gold. Don't try and coerce someone else into allowing you to their pot of gold. That's how I should have stated that.
Yeah, seriously. Oh, my gosh.
They're a metaphorical pot of gold or a literal cauldron of gold coins.
Yeah, that's not yours.
Consent is important in both cases.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. Love you guys. Have a great week. Catch you around town. Here is a kiss on your forehead.
Bye. Bye. That was supposed to be Danny Boy.
Oh, was it?
Got a little lost.
Got a little lost.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review. And tell your friends, please.
Speaking of Irish music, have you ever seen the movie Sing Street?
No, I'd really like to. I dated someone who really tried me to get watch Sing Street, and I never did some reason.
I lived with someone who made me watch Sing Street, and then he had me sing it at his rehearsal dinner. It was my roommate, Dan. He loves that movie, and with good reason. It's a very good movie.
Yeah, I've heard music from it. It's very good.
I played you music from it way back when. Yeah.
Huh.
I played you, this is the song I sang at his wedding. I mean, rehearsal dinner. I was on my way to find you. Ba-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-ba-ba. I don't remember any of the words anymore. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Or in the back street, watching the something, something. I was on my way to find you. Sing Street, everyone check it out. It's a very good movie, and it's got very good music. Goodbye.
Bye.